An Aleutian volcano that lies on a major international flight path has erupted. Cleveland volcano sent up a 15,000-foot ash cloud early yesterday morning. The Alaska Volcano Observatory has been keeping tabs on Cleveland since July when a lava dome in its crater started to grow. Geophysicist Cheryl Searcy calls yesterday's eruption relatively minor. She says it should not affect any air travel.
Right now, it looks like it was a pretty small, isolated event.
The observatory is continuing to monitor for further eruptions using satellite imagery. In the past, Cleveland has sent up plumes at well over 20,000 feet, which is generally considered the alert threshold for aviation. The volcano is an unpopulated Chukin Adak Island. Nikolsky is the nearest community. Resident Doris Kompoff says most people there didn't even know the volcano erupted until a local air carrier told them. Bill Sheffield is stepping down from his post as director of the Port of Anchorage project. Sheffield outlined his plans in a letter to Anchorage city officials earlier this week. Sheffield's retirement is effective January 15th. The port director and former governor of Alaska made his announcement official in a letter to Anchorage Mayor Dan Sullivan on Wednesday. Mayor Sullivan made the announcement public at a press conference yesterday, saying the 83-year-old Sheffield's retirement was entirely Sheffield's decision. Sullivan had high praise for the port director.
This has been really a two-and-a-half-year timeline that we talked about when I first came into office. As you may know, when a new mayor comes in, it's typical to ask all the executives for a letter of resignation. Some you accept, some you don't. I did not accept his. In fact, I asked him if he'd be willing to spend a couple more years in public service because I wanted to get this port project back on track, and I felt he was critical to getting us there. And now we are there. In fact, the $350 million port bond request that we asked for, and the governor has now put a port bond into his legislative package, shows that there's, I think, great confidence that the project is back on track, and Governor Sheffield gets a lot of credit for, over the last 2 years, helping us get to this point.
Sheffield is also being credited with expanding the Port of Anchorage during his years as director, but critics of the current expansion project have complained of cost overruns. Sullivan says the former port director will continue to be involved with the port project as a consultant. Earlier this month, protesters representing the Occupy movement marched to the port and called for Sheffield to resign. Here in Juneau, Arrow Refuse has a new plan to change the way that garbage is collected in Juneau. But this one does not include barging solid waste south or curbside recycling. In a filing with the Regulatory Commission of Alaska last week, Arrow's parent company, Alaska Pacific Environmental Services, proposes replacing its garbage can service in Juneau with an automated roll cart service. That would mean getting rid of standard 32-gallon trash cans and replacing them with either 48 or 96-gallon bins called roll carts. Alaska Pacific Environmental Services General Manager Glenn Thompson says customers would pay a monthly rental fee of $3.95 for the roll carts, which would work with a new fleet of trucks the company plans to bring to Juneau.
A truck with basically a one-arm banded arm on the side of it that automatically reaches out and empties the can. They're faster, they're safer for the crew. They're basically used everywhere else in the known world.
Arrow Refuse essentially proposed the same thing back in September. That plan also included barging trash to the lower 48 and curbside recycling. The Regulatory Commission rejected the company's first application, saying the combined revisions would require a cost of service study. Under the new plan, Thompson says most customers in Juneau would initially pay slightly more for the service because of the roll cart rental fee, but Arrow plans a cost of service study in order to set long-term rates.
What we've proposed to them is we won't have an increase in the garbage rates for the first year, and during that time we will develop a cost of service study, cost of your labor, your fuel, your trucks, your mechanics, everything that goes into it, and then that becomes the basis of a rate-making case. In 2013, we would file for a permanent tariff.
The plan calls for an ambitious timeline. Thompson says the company would like to roll out the new service in April. He says customers will receive information about the changes in the mail sometime in February. In the meantime, the Regulatory Commission is seeking comments on the proposal, which you can find a link to on our website at ktoonews.org, and the deadline for comments is January 30th. A new series of reports from the Alaska Healthcare Commission look at the high cost of health care in the state. Private health insurance premiums are about 30% higher here than in comparison states. The reports point to a lot of potential reasons for the higher cost, but one surprising finding was the high profit margins for Alaska's urban hospitals. APRN's Annie Feit has this story as part of a series on health care costs in Alaska.
Alaska's urban hospitals are very healthy businesses. According to the Healthcare Commission reports, on average, their profits in 2010 were 16.2%. The nationwide average for the same year is 6.3%. Dr. Noah Laufer spent the last year as a member of the Healthcare Commission. He's a primary care physician in Anchorage. He says hospital profits received a lot of attention in commission discussions.
I think it's a truth-finding mission, at least for now. A lot of raised eyebrows, a fair amount of resistance, as you can imagine, from hospitals. But I think what we're doing is getting a more realistic overall picture of what's going on.
The hospital with the largest profit, according to the report, was Alaska Regional in Anchorage. Their 2010 profit is listed at 29%. To put that number in perspective, the historical average profit for Fortune 500 companies is less than 5%. Alaska Regional disputes that figure. CEO Annie Holt says because Regional is run by a nationwide company, the report did not account for the cost of services provided by the owner, Hospital Corporation of America, or HCA. But even factoring that in, the figure Holt comes up with is still nearly three times higher than the national average.
About 15 to 17%.
Does that seem like a high profit margin?
I can't really answer that because I haven't studied what it looks like nationally recently. I know it. I was told that it would be comparable to our colleagues here in the Alaska market.
Holt makes the case that the company pays millions of dollars in taxes to the city and state, and she argues that having a big corporation behind the hospital allows them to be very competitive on price.
Many of the functions that are required for a hospital to run are actually handled electronically at our corporate or regional office. So we do keep our costs down here at Alaska Regional.
Hospital profits are an important part of the healthcare cost picture because about one-third of total healthcare spending goes to hospitals. Profit margins for hospitals in Alaska vary widely, according to the report. In general, rural hospital profits are much lower than in the urban areas. Two hospitals, Cordova Community Medical Center and Providence Valdez Medical Center, recorded a loss for 2010. In Anchorage, Providence Hospital had a profit of about 13% last year. Providence is a nonprofit, so CEO Bruce Lamoureux says all of that money stays in the state.
In the case of Providence, Alaska, those margins are used in this community for the benefit of community health.
For 2010, Providence says it spent more than $50 million for community benefit. Lamoureux says there are a number of factors that drive hospital profits up in urban Alaska. A high occupancy rate is one of them. There aren't many idle beds. High Medicaid reimbursements is another. Alaska has generous Medicaid reimbursement rates. But Lamoureux says everyone in the healthcare industry knows that belt tightening is coming, and Providence is working on programs to address that.
We can deliver better care, and we think in the long run that is not only morally the right thing to do, but it better prepares us for a future state where we better get better at managing costs.
The top executive at the Alaska State Hospital and Nursing Home Association, Karen Perdue, agrees that hospitals in Alaska will need to do more with less in the future. But she says there's a lot more to managing costs.
I think the way to eliminate costs in hospital care is to keep people out of the hospital and to keep them from coming back into the hospital. Can hospitals be more efficient with the money they get? Yes. And should they try? Absolutely.
And Perdue points out that the majority of hospitals in Alaska are making profits that are in line with or below the national average. After spending many hours poring over the reports and discussing the data, Dr. Laufer from the Healthcare Commission comes to this conclusion.
I'm not opposed to having healthy, robust hospitals, but I would prefer to see a system that, rather than focusing on growth, is focused on sustainable, good healthcare for all of us.
That's the goal of the Healthcare Commission as well. The hope is these reports start a dialogue on the issue that will eventually lead to some solutions. In Anchorage, I'm Annie Feit.
Southeast Alaska's Dungeness crab catch this year topped 2.6 million pounds, one of the lowest harvests in a decade. In most of the region, crabbers had a full two-month summer and two-month fall seasons. The fall season closed at the end of November, and the Alaska Department of Fish and Game's preliminary estimate for the fall harvest is 560,000 pounds, with 91 permit holders landing crab. That's similar to last year's catch. Adam Mesmer, Fish and Game's assistant management biologist for the shellfish program, says several areas were the top producers this fall.
District 6, which includes Dunk Canal, Wrangell Narrows, and portion of Sumner Strait, had the greatest harvest in the fall with 147,000 pounds. This district alone was comprised 26% of the total fall harvest. District 8, which includes the Stikine Flats, had 88,000 pounds. District 2, which includes the lower west shore of Clarence Strait, was third, landing 75,000 pounds, and that area is still open. In terms of effort, District 6 led with 22 permits recording landings during the fall season. District 8 was second with 20 permit holders recording landings, and District 10 was third with 13 permits.
The summer harvest season was over 2 million pounds, putting the total catch at 2.6 million. That's down from 3.25 million pounds caught last year, and it's the lowest catch since the 2000 and 2001 season. Dungy crab prices increased from the summer, with the fall price averaging $2.43 a pound, and that's up more than 50 cents a pound from last year. Several areas remain open for crabbing for the next 2 months. Meanwhile, the Board of Fish will consider a number of proposals to change Dungeness crabbing when it meets in Petersburg in January. The board will consider proposals to close commercial crabbing in Taku Harbor, Swanson Harbor, and Excursion Inlet near Juneau, along with Helm Bay and Traders Cove near Ketchikan. There are also proposals to continue summer and fall commercial seasons in Districts 1 and 2 around Ketchikan and Prince of Wales.